we were talking about the question of the issues between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir as far as whether Eidei Chasim Lekarti or Eidei Mesir Lekarti, to what extent are these issues that are specific to Gittin, or are they reflective of issues in Shtaros in general? And that will itself graph on to a question of how much is a get a shtar, how much is it something that looks like a shtar, but is really something else, and why are certain properties more significant than others? So within that, so just to consider a few points first of all that show up in the Gemaras. So we had left off, I believe, talking about the issue of Mizuyif Mitocho. I think that's where we left off. And that issue that Gemara presents, the Mishnah presents that as one of the iterations of the Machlokas, is part of the whole complexity and a little bit unwieldiness of the Reb Elazar Reb Meir Machlokas, that you have to put together so many different places where different issues reflect their Machlokas. But this was one of them. So on the Mishnah on Chafala from Udbeis, where the Mishnah doesn't even tell you this, but the Gemara has to fill you in on the fact that the question of how important it is for a get to be written on something that is not falsifiable. So that's an issue in the Mishnah. And then the Gemara tells us that that's specifically a Reb Meir issue, because according to Reb Meir, that we say Eidei Chasim Lekarti, so that seems to tell us that the get has to be able to speak for itself. And therefore, if there is a issue that means it may be false, it may be forged, so then that's going to be something that we're going to be concerned about, specifically within that consideration. So the Gemara in Chav Beis and Midbeis, after telling us about this and telling us that it's connected to Reb Elazar and Reb Meir, so then the Gemara says right before the Mishnah that, including regarding this whole story, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Vishtaros. So I got back a little bit. So I'm Reb Elazar. So here, this Reb Elazar, this is a little confusing because there's two Reb Elazars here. Right? So that could make your head spin a little bit more. But there's Reb Elazar the Tana and Reb Elazar the Amora. So regarding the position of Reb Elazar the Tana, the one who's taken a stance that Eidei Mesir Lekarti, so within that position, Rabbi Elazar of the Amora family is commenting. So the Gemara doesn't tell you how to know who's who, but especially they both have the same Rosh Tevis. So Amora Lohishura, Amora Elazar, Lohishura Elazar, two different Elazars. So Rabbi Elazar of the Amora is telling you that the opinion of Rabbi Elazar the Tana, that you don't need any chasima, so that Lohishur Ella begitten. It's only in Gittin you don't need any chasima. About the Shar Shtaros, lo, Tichsiv, Nasatim, Bechli Chayrus, Laman Yamdu, Yomim Rabin. And then, some machlokes about this, Rabbi Yochanan, Rafilu, Bishtaros, Aksiv, Laman Yamdu, Yomim Rabin, Asim, Eitze, Tova, Kamash, Laman. So, what's going on here? So, here, this is one point in the comparison or distinction between Gittin and other Shtaros, that perhaps the idea that you can get away without signatures, that's only true by a get, it's not true by different types of shtaros. So why should that be the case? Why should it be that maybe Rabbi Elazar would agree that I do need signatures for other kinds of shtaros? Any thoughts? I mean, the Gemara basically says it, but what does that reflect? The question of if we're going to assume, which is a machlokas here, but according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Elazar, that the position that you don't need it to be signed, that's only true for a get. But other shtaros do need signatures. So where is that from? Why should there be such a distinction? If you don't need signatures, so then why do you need signatures anywhere? Yeah.
Because the point of the get is of the aiding of the get, it's to testify that this document was given over and that this marriage has effectually been nullified.
So is that the case? That's like something I was hoping to get to today also.
Well, that's explaining Rav Elazar's side of the case. And from the Pesukim of the Torah, you just need the doesn't say anything about two witnesses signing it. It just says that that husband must give to wife who are getting divorced a sacred kriitut.
So are you saying that it's because of the language of the Torah that you don't need Aiden for get, according to him?
No, it's not that you, no, it's not, he's not talking about you don't need Aiden Tzir, he's saying you don't need Aiden Chatzimah.
Right.
Never says anywhere in that sacred kriitut that in the Torah, and I know this is a bit of a stretch, but never says in the Torah that you need. I mean, it doesn't say you need Aidim in general, but the purpose of the Aidim, or in at least in the written Torah, but the purpose of the Aidim is to make sure that everyone knows that this divorce happened.
Okay. All right. So you're saying there's nothing to tell us at all that there should be any need for the get to be signed.
Right. And a question on the Gemara. What does it mean, Mizuyaf Mitocho?
That it's inherently falsifiable. And Mizuyaf really means forged. But Mitocho means that it's in its essence is so fragile that it's basically worthless. Yeah.
I'll say, but I get the main point is that you give it to the actual, like you actually give it to the woman, like, but like if it's just a stam other shtar, like by the Edom saying, okay, you own this property, okay, now you can do whatever you want with that, like, but the main part is that you now know you own the property, okay, you give the deed to somebody else now, but by get, it's just the ikker. What's the ikker of it? The ikker of it is actually giving it to the woman, as opposed to a different shtar, which is the aid helping to prove X. Okay, then you could do what you want with it. I might not be.
Because some shtars are not for raya purpose.
Right, I guess it's just
that, yeah. You can also right. say for get, not necessarily. Like, I can have someone else give my get. I don't have even. Like,
right, but then somebody else doing it is really, you're doing it. They
correct.
Can't do it
but
without.
But also the retroactive, like, how does that work with the other star? Can I say, okay, this isn't until effect, until date X? I give it to you on the first, then this is, and for I'm selling my property, and this isn't. Till effect on the 15th.
Why is that relevant to the dating part of it?
Well, because I know you know get that that's something that you can do. Meaning you can say, okay, I'm going to give you this get today, but it's not effective till whatever date you want
to. Oh, to delay when.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but how does that?
So I'm asking, is that similar in the case of a regular star? Is that
there it would work more? Well,
that does. Well, the question is, A, does it work?
If that's what it says, yeah. But then. Why is that going to cause differentiation on this point? Like, it seems like if the issue is that a shtar needs to be available as proof, so then presumably that's the consideration. Here, the Gemara points to a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which is significant in a couple of levels, because this pasuk tells us a lot about the whole nature of a shtar. If you have, I don't know what kind of Gemara you have, but so if you have the Torah or HaShalim, here on the side, it quotes the whole pasuk in its entirety. But this is a pasuk from Sefer Yirmiyahu, which talks about transferring land. It says, Ko amar Hashem tzvakos l'kei Yisrael, l'koach ha-sesvarim ha'ila, eis sefer ha-mikne hazah, eis ha-chosun, eis sefer ha-goli hazah, u'nesatem u'klicheres, l'man yamdu yom rabim. So here it talks about how you should transfer land with this shtar, and it has the language of the Gemara just referenced of Laman Yamdu Yam Rabin, that it should stay for a long time. So, according to the first opinion of the Gemara, that's an inherent detail of the shtar. And for some reason, Rabbi Elazar believes that a get doesn't have that requirement. Therefore, a get must be excluded from the general shtaros category. And you can't make the distinction that this is only true about shtari raya and not about shtari kinyan, because the pasuk is talking about a shtari kinyan. It's talking about transferring land through this. So if this somehow get is excluded from this consideration, it must be something presumably particular about a get and its nature. Hi.
To me, it seems like the difference between the two is one's the end of something and one's the start of something. Meaning, get is the end of a relationship, and shtar, however you want to say it, it seems to be the beginning of a relationship.
Maybe, but does it matter?
No, that's my question. Does it matter?
I don't think so. It's also a question of perspective, I guess, but I don't know if it's going to affect anything yet. So it's also interesting that this I didn't give you to look at, but there's a Tosfos Harash Misanz in Ksubis that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein refers to in his Shiurim, where he notes that he thinks this is a little surprising, that the Tosfos Rashi Nissans says that the concern of Mezuyas Mitocho that we have here by the get, that that's not applicable to, that the mayor has specifically, that that's not applicable to a Shtar Kedushin. He would not apply that to a Shtar Kedushin, because even though the whole nature of a Shtar Kedushin is derived from the Hekesh to get, Makesh Havai Eliyatziah, so you might think they have the same rules. So, says the Rashmi Sons, not for everything. Just the idea that you're going to have a Shtar, that's the relationship between them. But the idea that you have to have, is very Mechudish presentation, I'll give you this tomorrow to look at, that the idea that it has to have a signature, says that, according to your mayor, is based on the language of the Chasav law. That it's a special din by Get, that Ksiva assumes Chasima, and therefore you need to have a signature to verify the Ksiva, and that wouldn't transfer over to a Shtar Kedushin. Just the concept transfers over, not the additional rule that comes from Ksiva. So that's a big chiddush. We could have certainly argued on that drasha, but as Lichtenstein emphasizes, he thinks it's just not at all what one would have thought is the nature of a relationship here, that if you're going to say a get is in a different category from other shtaros, so presumably it's because a get is something different, not that there's just a technical exclusion here. Now, this distinction, potentially, between a get and other shtaros, so let's at least get this in, is also a major issue on Daf Pei Vav. So on Daf Pei Vav, that's where we have the Mishnah, which is, again, the reflection of the Machlokas from Elazar and Reb Meir, perhaps in one of its most blatant ways, that the Mishnah says, second half of the Mishnah on Pei Vav, Reb Elazar Omer, Afal Pi, Shainal of Eidim, Elushim Nostal of Neidim, Kasher, Begov Nechasim Shabbat. Right, so that line is one of the most clear statements that we have of the position of Eidei Mesira Karti. That's Reb Elazar's position, that no Eidim on the document, but Eidei Mesira, that's enough. Right? Why? She'ena Eidim Chos Memal Get, Elam Ipnei Tikun Ha'olam. That the only reason, according to him, you need Eidim signing the Get is because of Tikun Olam, because the world will be better off if it's possible to prove that it happened. So there, that's the position, Eidei Mesira Karti, not Eidei Chasima. So within that position, on Pei Vav and Beis, you had a chance to see. So the Gemara has a machlokas, a number of opinions as to what is the scope of this position. So we just mentioned before machlokas, the scope of Remeir's position. Remeir's position that you do need Eidei Chasima, and where does that apply? So here, according to Reb Elazar, that you don't need Eidei Chasima. So how far do we go with that? So towards the end of the Gemara here, before the Mishnah, so there are a number of opinions, and what emerges among the opinions is, again, a distinction between Gittin and other shtaros, or a possible distinction between Gittin and other shtaros. And there is a significant machlokas among the Rishonim as to what that distinction is. And according to the Ravid commenting on the riff, you still got to see that long riff where he goes through all these details. So the Ravid on the bottom of the page over there, so the Ravid maintains that we hold like Reb Elazar for all Shtari Kinyan. And the distinction is with Shtari Raya. So that we can understand, that if the purpose of the Shtar is to effect something with the knee, to bring about a reality, so then it's not necessarily crucial that it prove anything in of itself. It's making something happen. So you can make something happen with the witness is seeing it, and it doesn't have to prove itself. So that's true about the get, and it's true about also another type of shtar that has something similar. It's true about a shtar kinyan as well. But for shtaraya, so that, okay, your blazer would agree that you would need, or whether or not he would agree, maybe he wouldn't agree, but we don't agree with him, we would not accept his opinion for shtar kinyan. While the Ramban, he disagrees. And the Ramban writes that the distinction between a get and other shtaros is absolute. That all other shtari mamon are distinct from a get, and we would assume that you need a dechasima on all of them, including on a shtar kinyan. So that's going to be a crucial distinction. So again, as far as whether it is whether we see that a get is really some kind of a shtar, even if it's one of the types, but it's still a general shtar category, or is it something completely distinct, seems to be tied into that as well. And to see Rashi here specifically, Rashi here on the bottom of Pevav Mevez says, Halacha Krivalazah Begitin, goes on to say, De'edim Mesira Karte. So when it comes to a get, Rabbi Elazar's position is that it's all about the Eidei Mesira, and without Chasima, it's not even a problem midrabanan. So the language of the Mishnah, that it's Tikkun Olam, that requires us to have a signature. So you see Rashi is telling you here, others might disagree, but Rashi is telling you that Tikkun Olam is not even a din d'rabanan. Or at least it's not even a psul d'rabanan. Maybe that's a better way to say it. That it's a good idea to have the shtar signed, have the get signed, but it's not even going to create a ishum midrabanan. And the Rashi goes on to say, v'alo b'shtaros, but not when it comes to shtaros. V'chsiv behen uchsov b'sefer v'chasom v'yirmiyahu b'sefer hamikna. So that same pasuk that we saw referenced is, at least according to Rashi here, is the same source for both dinim. So the distinctions that were drawn between shtaros and gittin, specifically discussion on Daf Chof Aleph about Mazif Mitocho, and this discussion about how far we would accept your Belazar's opinion that you don't need Edim, is all emerging from that pasuk, which on the surface is about shtar kinyan, so that itself is reflective of something. So what we'll have to pick up tomorrow, really, besides picking up the pace, what we also have to pick up tomorrow is the question of how far apart is the machlokas. So we know until now we're basically talking about, does really this all come from Reb Meir's perspective, that Reb Meir requires Edim and Reb Elazar, we know, does not. But what about the other way around? So what if you have Edei Chasima and no Eidei Mesira? Could that be enough for a Blazer? Is it one or the other? And if so, why? So that's certainly on the agenda for tomorrow. Okay, who do we have to represent us? The Hei Kedusha. Okay.